This is Pants in the Boot, a podcast that's always simmering about the way English is spoken in several countries around the world. I'm your host, Glenn Fleischman, in Seattle, Washington. Let me welcome in this latest episode in this, the fifth series of the show, Jean in Portland, Oregon, Chris in Broughty Ferry, Scotland, James in Glasgow, also in Scotland, Erica in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, by way of Wisconsin, and Sarah in Auckland, New Zealand. Folks, I want to move on from our previous episode on coffee to talk about tea, because tea is something people frequently make in their houses, more than necessarily you get it out most of the time. And coffee, we all make, or many of us make coffee in different ways. But I should point out too, listener Aaron had asked about the coffee question. Listener Marlene asked about cuppa. What's a cuppa? And what do you call, and you know, there's a million things about tea, but I thought that might be a good entree point.
Well, I think like, certainly again with the coffee, it was like when I was growing up, there was one kind of tea, which was your basic builder's tea.
And a builder is?
A builder, as in the tradesman who comes to your house and fixes things, that you will give them a cup of tea.
You'll ply with tea.
We had something similar here in New Zealand. We refer to it as a gumboot tea because it's the basic tea. That's what I grew up with. We're just like the basic tea. You go out to the supermarket, buy tea. Yeah, we refer to it as gumboot tea because it's the stuff that you would brew in a gumboot, which is a Wellington.
At some time between the 80s and now, we've gone from like one kind of tea to, you know, if I open my cupboard, there's probably like 512 different kinds of tea in there. Some of which isn't even tea in my book, but
It's herbal tea, not tea.
Yes. You know, you put an apple in a cup. That's not a cup of tea.
Oh, I tried to explain to my kids the other day. I was like, well, you know, there's broken orange pekoe. There's black tea. There's lapsang souchong. There's oolong. And they're like, wait. And my wife is a horticulturist by training. And so, you know, she's like, well, these are all really just one kind of leaf. These are basically, there's like one, and then they're all prepared. They're fermented. There's green tea. But it was hilarious because there are a million kind. Well, it seems like there's several kinds of tea leaves that are pass through various stages to become things that seem like they're totally different, and there is not tea that is marketed as tea.
I thought orange pekoe was orange flavored tea until, I don't know, 4 years ago or something. Like, I had no idea.
I think it's a grading system, right?
It's not. Yeah, it's a rating system.
One of the things we get in the UK is you get blends for different parts of the country based on basically how their water is.
Absolutely.
So, because the water down south is, you know, all
highly mineralized.
Yes. So, you know, your kettle turns white, which is not a thing that you get up in Glasgow. You know, our water is pure, proper water. But you get, you know, the Scottish blends or the English blends, or I assume there's a Welsh blend, but they don't seem to go in for their own things.
That's a remarkable thing. I had no idea.
Yes, your breakfast tea.
Your breakfast tea, but also, you know, sort of caffeine-free-ish, reduced caffeine tea for later in the day.
The tea culture in America has evolved differently than the coffee culture, too. Is, you know, I was growing up, a tea bag and usually Lipton's was the thing, and that was kind of it. I have actually a mildly horrible story, which is I went to the Economist's offices in New York to meet with somebody on the business side who I knew but hadn't met with. That's on a different floor in a different part than the editorial offices. And she offered me tea. I said, sure. And she gave me a bag of Lipton's. And I went, this just doesn't seem, I didn't say anything. Of course, I drank it happily. But I thought, how disappointing to be in the Economist. I figured they would have here's the tea service. Like, no, here's a bag of Lipton's. But that's all. That was all we knew when I was growing up.
To answer Marlene's question, cuppa is just, you know, cup of tea. A cup of tea. But it usually has a sort of connotation of, you know, that ritual of taking a break, maybe a bit of a chin wag, a bit of a bitch about people, your colleagues, your family, your friends. Cuppa. But my favourite equivalent of that, which is very localised to Aberdeen in the northeast of Scotland, there's the phrase there of a fly cup. A fly, the rest of Scotland will use fly in the same way as to mean a sort of like sneaky or, you know, passing little instance of something. So a fly cup is just a wee sneaky cup of tea. Not a huge, big, long, established thing, but just a quick cuppa.
Probably no biscuit in that case.
No, absolutely not.
We'll come back to biscuits.
But the thing is, of course, it's like I never drink my tea in a cup. I'm always drinking my tea in a mug, not a cup, because I don't actually think I have any like tea cups of my own.
I don't drink tea much myself, but my spouse Stephen does. It's English breakfast tea, I believe is what it's called. But he has like a little tea pot and cups, like, and those teacups and saucers are only to be used for tea. I am not allowed to use them for coffee. I am really? Not allowed to use them for anything else. Those cups are just for when Stephen has tea. Whereas I will make myself herbal tea, which again, not tea, it's an herbal infusion. or possibly some gen matcha, which is a green tea with rice in it, with toasted rice. Honestly, I would be happily take it. If I could find some that gave me just toasted rice that was perfect for tea, I would use that because I don't actually like the green tea. I just like the rice heated up in my cup. But I'll put that in a big mug. I do drink that in a mug.
I have a tea it's almost a brown tea. It's a green tea, but it sort of tastes brown, if that makes sense. So it tastes more like black tea, but it has the toasted rice in it, and it is perfect because it doesn't have. Good. I'm not a big fan of green tea just by itself. My current favorite tea, and the tea of our house is our tea house brand. They're not sponsoring this episode. Is Republic of Teas British breakfast tea, which is called the Perfect Cuppa, just to be a little pretentious there, folks. But it's delicious and perfect and not bitter.
Oh, nothing pretentious about that. Definitely not. But nobody above working class would say cuppa. Lower middle class.
Oh, I mean, but they're being like reverse pretentious by using it as a casual term on something that's in this fancily printed. But you can buy it. What I found out early in the pandemic is, of course, if you like a tea, you just go to the manufacturer and they will sell you 500 bags of it or whatever in a bulk thing without the fancy container. Very, very cheaply. It's like, this is our we have a house tea. Well, I didn't mean to tee anybody off, but I think we've hit the end of this episode. And so I want to thank Gene, Chris, James, Erica, and Sarah. Thank you all very much. Thank you to Crispine for a theme song. And if you'd like to support this podcast and others, go to theincomparable.com. We're part of the Incomparable Network. Many of us appear on Incomparable episodes of other programs. And if you like nonsense and pants and boots, you can become a supporting member at theincomparable.com/members, where you get special things like episodes before they are edited. I think that's special. And special member only stuff and access to our member Slack, where you can talk to people and ask questions about things like cuppa and flat white and tall black. Thanks, everybody.
I was just going to say, I'm glad that I didn't get to telling the story of having a 100-pound phone paired mug that keeps the stuff warm for.
Oh, yeah, we've heard about this.
Too late, you've told the story.
Everything I've learned about cuppa, I've learned from detective novels and TV series.
Same.
It seems to be an important piece of kit for the detectives, is to make a cuppa.
It's why we have so many of these like little breaks during the day. It helps our brains think and process.
Americans don't take breaks. We work until we're dead, and then we take a break when we're dead.
Canadians do.
That's right. Yeah. It's very sad.